This is Andy Rainey, pastor of Blue Ash Community Church, and on this week's podcast, we continue our series, At the Movies. This week, we look at the movie Renegades. To listen to more podcasts like these, simply subscribe to our iTunes or head to our website, www.blueashcc.com.
Renegades is coming out later this summer. I don't know much about it than what you guys have seen, but here's what I do know, is a bunch of guys who risk a lot. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is just this whole idea of risk and where we're risking, how that affects our life even now. So good morning, my name's Andy. If this is your first time here, we're so glad you're here. I'm the pastor here at Blue Ash Community Church. We're glad that you came. This must be like a big vacation week. So they're lost, your guys' gain this morning. One thing I do want to point out, this is the last week of our series At the Movies, but each week we've been raffling off a winner of 2 free movie tickets. So if you would like to be a part of that raffle, simply fill out your Connect card, write movie ticket on it. We will make a drawing once we collect those at the end of the service, and then we will announce the winner on our Facebook page tomorrow. So stay tuned to that. If you haven't liked our page, this is a good time to do that as well. Well, as I mentioned, this whole movie, when you see the previews, you see these guys that are willing to risk really everything. There's no guarantee that there's a treasure at the bottom of this lake. But they have no idea how they're going to be received. They don't even know the cost that that's going to be. They don't know if they're going to be forgiven for the crimes. They don't know even if they find it, if they're going to be celebrated. Yet, they risk everything. And if we stopped right there, it could be really hard to go, I'm not sure I resonate with this movie, Andy, like I have in the past. But that simple idea just isn't enough to resonate with me. I'm not sure I would risk going into a lake. I don't even like lake water, and we can find all these reasons why we wouldn't even move forward in this whole idea. But at the core of that story of risk, I believe that we all risk, that there's something there that resonates with us, that speaks to us. And maybe you're not going to risk everything to go find a treasure, but if we're honest, we've risked throughout our lives, we'll risk later in our lives, even beyond this morning, for things much, much less. I know I have. I risked a lot the first few years of our marriage, where I would go out and go drinking and have a good time with my boys and not really pursue my wife. Instead, I was pursuing fun with the guys. Early in my 20s, I risked a couple of jobs because I was lazy, and I risked all of that laziness, comfort, and that job, and I wanted that comfort instead of really a work or career. I've risked finances over poor financial decisions and incurred debt. I've risked friendships in the past over gossip, wanting to be liked, I've risked my integrity because of it. I've risked my trust that maybe my wife had in me by all those years of drinking. And when we talked about, if you know my story a little bit, when we talked about, hey, what would it look like if we weren't married anymore, risked my marriage for that. And if I'm completely honest, when I look at this story, this movie trailer, I could look back and go, boy, I'd have rather risked diving into a lake looking for a treasure than some of the things that I've risked even in the past, and maybe some things that I hope not to risk in the future. And I'm guessing this morning we all have kind of similar risks. I've just outlined and shared just a few of the risks that I've taken. I'm guessing we've all taken risks, some of them in the past, if we look backwards and go, man, I'm glad I took that because that one really panned out. Some of them have blown up in our face. Some of us are taking risks even right now. We're hoping that everything lines up and works out, because if it does, it's a big win for us. Maybe it's a big win professionally, financially, maybe even relationally. But if it doesn't, things could collapse in a hurry. Things could get really interesting. Some of us are risking friendships. We're risking maybe our family connections and how that all works out. We're risking some relationships that we have with our kids now or our future relationships later with our kids. We're risking for the sake of personal gain. Some of us are risking our character, our integrity, maybe our influence that we have at work or in certain communities because of something that we're doing that nobody else knows and we're keeping it hidden. But if it surfaces, we're going to find ourselves in some serious trouble. And in the moment, we're doing these things, and they don't feel like big risks, like, it's not a big deal. But if we really play it out and go, boy, the things that I'm doing now, if I played all this out, and it keeps escalating, or even stays in the same line that it is now, if somebody found out, or if he found out, or if she found out, boy, I'm going to be in some serious trouble. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but we know if we get found out, if it gets realized, that risk that we're taking by doing what we're doing is going to be a big deal. We're going to have to face it. We're going to have to deal with it. And the beauty of all of this is there's example after example in Scripture of people taking risk and risking everything, and we can see the stories play out over and over. We've covered some of those even in this series. Abraham risked his wife when he said, no, she's not my wife, she's just my sister. He risked his marriage, he risked his wife's sake, his own safety. King David risks his character, he risks his kingdom, and he sleeps with Bathsheba. One of the disciples, he betrays Jesus, and he risks everything for 30 pieces of silver, his eternity for wealth. And today we're going to look at a different risk, but it's a risk nonetheless in Scripture. We're going to look at a man who really risks everything. He risked everything that could be given to him because of his birth order and who he was and the kingdom that he was in. He risked everything that he could be in the future for a belief in a man. Not Jesus, in a man. He saw something in this man and decided it was worth the risk, not just for him, but for others as well. So if you haven't done so already and you want to follow along on your tablet or your phone, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles on. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 18 if you have a Bible with you. If you don't have any of that, that's fine. We're going to have the verses right up here. While you're getting there, let me set the stage. David has just defeated Goliath, the giant Goliath. For Israel's sake, he's defeated them. He saved the nation with simply a sling and a stone. And David gets brought before King Saul after this, and he has to answer a few questions. And the son of King Saul, his son's name is Jonathan. He's standing by. He's witnessing all of this. He saw it all go down. He's listened to the conversation. And this is where we're picking up the story. David has just defeated Goliath. He said, 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 5, it says, "After David had finished talking with Saul, the king, Jonathan, Saul's son, became one in spirit with David. He loved him as himself." He loved him as himself. We've heard that before in the Gospels. Love your neighbor as yourself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan, the son, made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that David gave him a high rank in the army, and this pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. And if we pause the story there, it would be very easy to write these words, "And they lived happily ever after." And we could just kind of pack up and go home. But that's not exactly what happens. David becomes so successful, he becomes this great fighter, he leads the troops over and over and over into success. Israel's doing great, and they start to sing songs about David. Like, David killed his tens of thousands, Saul kills thousands. And King Saul hears the songs, he hears what everybody's saying, he's like, "I'm not sure I like this." And the pride starts to get up in him, and he's really jealous about this, and so he says this in the next couple of verses. "Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me only thousands? Well, what more can he get but the kingdom?" He's worried that David's popularity is going to get him the kingdom that Saul is the king of. And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. How many of us have had kind of some jealousy and we kind of watch those people or that community? It's easy in church world to watch other churches and go, "Oh, I'm jealous of what they're doing or what they have that we don't." Maybe you find that in some of your friends or some of your coworkers, maybe your neighbors keeping up with the Joneses. We see that and we keep an eye on them. That's kind of what Saul is doing. He's like, "Something's going on here. I don't like what people are saying, what they're not saying about me. I'm going to keep an eye on." You can hear the jealousy. And the next day, this jealousy is burning so hot that Saul tries to kill David, and he's unsuccessful. But David continues to be successful over and over in the battlefields. And Saul has had enough. The next chapter, chapter 19, says this: "Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David." Now, this is the same guy that he's promoted, the same guy that's winning battles for him. He's like, I've had enough. My jealousy is too much. My pride is too much. Let's kill him. Murder him. I want to be done with him. Now, we may not be risking everything for murder. In our world, we don't necessarily think, I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill him. They're done with me, so I'm going to make sure that they die. But many of us are risking lots of little things and even big things when we shouldn't. Little things like maybe we're eating the foods that we know we shouldn't, and it's risking our health. Our health is just deteriorating, all for the sake of our taste buds. How many of us have risked finances for the sake of kind of fun and putting vacations on credit cards or that new TV or the new phone or whatever it might be? Many of us are risking our future by posting things on social media that not only can damage our character and our integrity, but our friendships. It could damage the relationships we have with our families. It can actually damage and hurt our chances to be hired at another place of employment. So it could actually affect your career by the things that we do on social media and the digital footprint that we're leaving behind. I learned a few months ago, they did this class at Deer Park. They were talking about social media and how that's now impacting the younger children. Thank goodness, I say this a lot, that I'm now in my young 40s. I'll be 42 next Sunday, actually. And I didn't have social media when I was younger, thank goodness. But now colleges can, at the age, I believe, is 13, they can now follow you on social media legally. So if you're a 13-year-old and you have a social media account, they can start subscribing basically to your social media feeds, and they'll read it every Monday like a newspaper. So if I was 13, they would like, oh, Andy's a good athlete. He's a good student. Let's see what Andy's been doing. And they'll just scroll through your social media and read it. So teenagers who are in high school can be on lists of college that they want them to come to, and the teenager has no idea they're even on this list. But you do something on social media and they go, erase that number or that name, cross them out. And so they're removing you from lists to get into colleges, and they don't even know they're on the list. That's the things that people are risking on social media. Some of us are risking our future spouse because of things we're doing on social media or things we're doing physically that are reserved for marriage, and we're doing those things while we're dating. Some of us are risking our present and our future by drinking under the age or drinking too much and driving or doing illegal drugs. Many of us are risking our spiritual development because we don't come to church on a regular basis. We're not involved in serving. We're not finding ourselves in people of influence that are a little further along in their faith journey with Jesus. We're not in small groups, and we risk what God may want to do in us and what God wants to do through us because we're not spending enough time with Him. We hit snooze instead of getting up and using those 9 minutes to spend with God, whether that's through praying, whether that's through journaling, whether it's simply through reading. Many of us are risking reconciliation, maybe with the people that we want reconciliation with the most, because we're not willing to swallow our pride and say, I'm sorry. And so we're risking what God wants to do in that relationship. Well, Saul's all in. He's all in his jealousy. His pride is through the roof, and he's risking it all. And I'm guessing, if Saul was here and we could interview him and ask him how he got to that point, he would have never thought in a million years, here's the guy that kind of saves Israel, defeats the giant in Goliath. He's this war hero celebrated throughout Israel, that one day he would risk everything, use everything at his disposal to try to kill the man that saved Israel, the man that's celebrated because he wins battle after battle after battle, and yet, here he is. This is where we find ourselves. Many of us have these same kind of ideas, these same lines of thinking. We never thought that one drink would end up where we are today, or that one time we did the drugs would end us where we are, that one conversation with that person who wasn't married and we were, or whatever it is, those small steps end up being big, lifetime-altering risks that we didn't need to take. They weren't worth the reward. And Saul has lost his way. It's evident when we hear the story. when we're on the outside looking in. But when we have to insert ourselves into the story and go, what was that dynamic like? What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does it sound like? Well, there's this other character. We've talked about Jonathan a few times, that he risks everything for David's sake. He wants to save David's life, and it alters history. Listen to 1 Samuel 19:1 through 3. It says, Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. We just talked about that. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him. We learned that. He's one with him, loving him as himself. My father Saul was looking for a chance to kill you, he tells David. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I will speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out. He's like, I'm going to be your spy. I'm your guy undercover. This is my dad. He's going to tell me it. He's going to confide everything. It's going to be my kingdom someday. I'm the next in line. That's what he's risking. He risks all of this for David's sake because his spirit was connected. God had put something in there. There was something that he said yes to. He was obedient to. And the conversation goes well. Jonathan's able to talk his dad's Saul off the kind of the ledge for a while. Like, hey, you're right, Jonathan. You're speaking some truth into me. Your wisdom is well sought. I understand it. You can read it for yourself in the following verses. And things are good for David for a while. He continues to do what he wants to do. He's out there winning battles. But then history starts to repeat itself. The jealousy and the pride returns to Saul. But Jonathan, through all of it, continues to risk all that could be his. Imagine you're the son or daughter of somebody extremely wealthy with all the power. And like, that's mine. All I have to do is wait this out, and it's all mine. But then you risk all of it for another person. So he risks all that could be his, all that he could be, all of his future earnings, everything for what he knows is right. That's the position Jonathan takes. That's the learning of many learnings that we learn in this story is, what am I risking? Am I risking the right things? Am I risking everything that I could be or everything that maybe culture says I should be? I'm going to risk it all because I know this over here is the right thing to do. Eventually, King Saul is wounded in a battle himself. He's wounded so bad, he doesn't want people to find him in this state. He literally falls on his own sword and kills himself. David, time goes by, is eventually named king. He's now king of Israel. And we read the stories of King David, one of the greatest kings of Israel. But none of that would have happened. None of it would have happened had it not been for Jonathan, who risked everything that he was in the moment, everything that he was promised, everything that he could be for Jonathan's sake, or for David's sake. And in that, it alters history. He saves David. David becomes king. So in our learnings, in our world, we go every day. When you leave here, there'll be opportunities to risk. You can risk something. We all know what happens in risk. It's where you grow the most. And when you're on a mission trip, we were on a mission trip in June, they talk about the green, yellow, and red lights. Green's your comfort zone. Like, I'm really good at my green spots. I can operate there really well. Red is like, that's not me. For some people, it's like heights. Like, I'm deathly afraid of heights. There's no way you're going to convince me of heights. That's a red for me. Red for me is a snake. Anything with a snake, I'm a red. Like, get the snake away from me. I'm convinced I will turn into Jesus, and I will run across the lake on top of the water when I see a snake. That's how much I hate snakes. The yellow is where we grow the most. It's where you're like, I'm not real comfortable there. It's a risk for me. I might fail, but we live there. If we engage the yellows in our life, that's where we grow the most. That's the risk that we're talking about here. And every day there's an opportunity to risk something for gain. Now, the reality is some of that risk could be for some sort of personal gain. It can be for pleasure. It could be for some sort of advancement. It could be for our health. It could be for friendship. It could be for wealth. It could be for time. It could be for simply rest or comfort. But the question we need to ask ourselves first is, do we know where we're risking? Like if we took 2 or 3 minutes and I said, everybody take your programs out or get your phones out and make some notes, could you start to look back and go, where have I been risking in my life? What does my life say about my risk? Are we not risking at all? Or what are those areas we're risking, putting things on the line, whether it's financially or relationally or career-wise, we're spending more time at work than we are at home, we're risking kind of that professional piece of that. Where are we risking? Do we know what we're risking? Can you answer the question? If not, I'd really challenge you to start there. Where are you risking? And then once you have that idea of where you're risking, how you're risking, do you know what you're risking for? Like, what's the outcome you're risking it for? Is it for personal gain? Is it for pleasure? Is it pride? I know a lot of prideful people. Sometimes I'm prideful. It sneaks into all of us. We all probably know these kind of people. Like, they'll tell you how much they spend on everything. Like, that's somebody's like, you know how much I spent on this? Let me tell you how much. This $5, this $40. I spent $80 on that. And like, now I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, yeah, see this shirt? This is $14. I found it on sale. You know, like, I'll tell you how little I tried to spend on something. I have 4 kids. I got to stretch every dollar. But we have people that will risk their finances because they're so hungry for acceptance. They're going to risk their integrity and just tell us how much they spend on something. We know people that they'll risk their family for the promotion. Oh, if I got this promotion, that would help us here. And then they get that promotion. Oh, and the next step is here. And they just keep going on. Keep going on. They'll risk their finances and go, well, it's just, we're only going to go out. We've earned this dinner. We don't have the money for it, so we're going to put it on a credit card. We've earned it. And so they risk their financial future for the immediate pleasure or enjoyment. Now, I want to be a risk taker in my life. I want to look back on my life and go, man, I feel like I risked well. The reason we launched Blue Ash Community Church is when I had a conversation with my pastor, I was like, I like it here. This is, I got a good job. They're good people here. And I could work here for 20 years and it could be really good. And my analogy to him was, but I don't want a good marriage. I want a great one. And so I don't want to settle. And it wouldn't be fair to you if I settled here and go, oh, this is just really good. And I feel like God's asking me to plant a church. And I don't want to look back on my life and go, what if? Man, what if we'd have went for it? That's the kind of risk we're talking about. I want to live my life like Jonathan did for David. I want to risk where I think it makes the most sense, where I know it's the right thing to do. I want to head to lunch today, and I want to be open enough to risk to pray for the person that might be serving us, if God puts that on my heart. To go, man, just tell them they're doing a good job, or you know, say some encouraging words, or ask them if you can pray for them, or if there's any prayer requests. I want to be that open. I want to risk there. I want to risk for the kingdom and not necessarily for myself. I want to risk more financially. Not in like the negative ways, but I want to continue to invest in the things that God's put on our hearts. That's certainly here. That's Haiti. That's where we want to risk as a family financially. I want to put myself in situations to kind of lean into the yellow, trusting God more and more each and every day. I want to see God move in my life. I want to see God move in your life in the ways that for risk's sake, for his name, not our name, not even the church's name. The church has really little to do with it. Now, why are you doing this? Because of Blue Ash Community Church, they had this challenge. That's not what at all we want that to look like. We want it because God put this on my heart. Because you have that personal relationship with him. I don't want to risk for the sake of time and rest. I don't want to risk to get more money or accolades or a better job or for pleasure. I want to risk for the things of God. So where are you risking? Why are you risking it? What's the outcome? And then when's the last time you risked anything for God? Can you think about it? Do you know that time? Was it like 6 months ago? Was it way back when? Was it yesterday? Was it last week? When was it? When's the last time you risked for God? Because he put something on your heart and then you did it. Then what'd you do? What was it that you did? What was the risk? What was the outcome? What did you learn about yourself when you risked? What did you learn about God in that time? What do you think God's asking you to risk right now? Do you know it? I'm guessing many of us already know. Like, I know God's been putting this on my heart. He's been putting this in front of me. I've just not done it. It's yellow. I don't know if I want to step in there. But it's kind of this repetitive thing that keeps presenting itself. What's God asking you to risk? Will you do it? When will you do it? Is it the next time he asks you? Is it to call that person as soon as you leave? What risk can you take today? Is it just simply being open? Maybe your risk today was simply coming to church. Like, I don't feel like it. I don't want to be here. I don't know anybody. Nobody talks to me. But I'm going to risk it anyway. I'm going. Maybe you'll risk in worship in a few minutes, as Craig and the band will come back up in a few minutes. Maybe you'll risk a little more and go, man, I've always felt like opening my hands. It feels really weird. I see Andy do it sometimes. Well, he's the pastor. Of course he's going to do it. But I felt like I'm supposed to do that. I just want to open my hands and just be able to receive whatever God has for me today. Or maybe I'll be one of those weird people who actually raises their hand. Well, those guys freak me out. But there's something about that. I feel like God was asking me to do that. Maybe you'll raise your hand. Maybe you'll come up and get prayer for the first time. Or maybe the first time in a long time. God's put that on your heart. And you want to come up and just receive whatever God has for you. Maybe it's communion. Like, I've done communion before, or I have never done it. And when I do it, I just kind of go through the motions. But I've never really grasped. I've never asked God to kind of speak to me through that. Maybe it's through serving, as Craig was talking about. Maybe it's getting more involved here on a Sunday morning so you can be more known, get connected relationally. Maybe it's coming to a Summer to Serve outreach. We go out and just love on the community in really practical ways and hand out glow necklaces, which is really simple to do. But in that, you serve with next to somebody, and you get to know a little bit more about them. Some guys risked this last Friday. They went out to a Reds game. You're like, Andy, how's that a risk? Well, they're hanging out with other men. They probably didn't know them real well. But you risk that time to invest relationally. Maybe you're going to risk to pray for somebody. God's put that on your heart. And maybe you're like, I'm not going to pray for them in person, but I'm going to pray for them afar. Maybe God will present that opportunity where you kind of step in and go, hey, can I pray for you? I know this is a little weird, and you know, Andy talked about this green, red, yellow thing. This is kind of a yellow. It's strange for me too, but I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. I honestly have never met anybody that when we talk about kind of prayer and what's going on in their life, and I go, can I pray for you? I have yet, not to say that it won't happen, I have yet to meet somebody that says, no, you can't pray for me. It might happen, but I've yet to experience it. Maybe you're going to risk by inviting somebody to church. God's put that person in your mind. He's created those conversations. You've not stepped into them. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. And now you're going to risk the next time God presents that opportunity just to invite them to church. Not because Blue Ash Community Church is great, but because he's great. Maybe you're going to risk your own reputation, your own relational influence with somebody to stand up for somebody else. Like, hey, I'm tired of us talking bad about this person. I'm tired of hearing you talk bad about this person. Look, I get it. I understand you're hurt. I'm sorry that happened, but we got to work towards reconciliation. Or, hey, I think you should really go talk to him. I think you should really go talk to her. Why don't you engage them? And you stand up for somebody that you know you should. You do the right thing instead of the wrong thing because it's more comfortable. It's more green. What is the risk you can take today? Where can you risk for the kingdom of God? Where are you risking that you shouldn't be? That if you played that out, the risk is way more than the reward. It's not finding the treasure at the bottom of a lake. It's finding more sin, more pride, more selfishness, because the magnetic pull of us as people is selfishness. That's just how we're wired. We were created not to deal with sin. Sin entered the world, and it's all about us. That's why we engaged in the fruit, because we wanted it to be about what we didn't have. We wanted it. That's why Adam and Eve engaged in it. Where are you risking? Why are you risking? What's the outcome? How can you risk for God? What is he already asking you to do? Will you do it? Will you be open to what God wants to do in you and through you? Grab your Connect cards as you would have walked in. In your programs, hopefully you've already filled out the front, but if you haven't done so already, go ahead and fill out what you're comfortable with. Again, write movie ticket if you want to be in the drawing that we're going to do here in just a few minutes. We're going to walk through some next steps. If you don't have a Connect card because you didn't grab a program, there's plenty of them in the seat backs in front of you, or if you're in the last row, they're behind you. We're going to walk through some next steps. We have 3 to 4 next steps each and every week. We may have talked about a next step that maybe, you know, we may not even mention the next step that you feel like God's asked you to do. Go ahead and write that one down. I pray for these every single week. If there's any questions you have, any follow-up, write that on the back. Drop it in the offering when it goes by in a few minutes, and we'll reach out to you next week. But the first next step for us is maybe you got to accept Christ for the first time. Maybe that's your risk this morning. Like, I'm going to risk it all. I'm finally going to say yes. I'm going to go all in. I'm no longer going to play both sides of the fence and go, yeah, I'm a Christ follower on Sunday. But when I head back to work on Monday, I'm kind of there. But by Thursday, Friday, certainly not Saturday when I'm going out, I'm not a Christ follower there. Maybe today is the time you go, you know what, I'm all in. Maybe this is your first time you're making that decision. Write that on the box. We have a couple gifts for you. This is for anybody. We have a next step book. It talks about prayer, reading your Bible, how to share your faith. It's chapter by chapter. You don't have to read it the whole thing. Those are free back by the coffee mugs. And if you don't have a Bible, just grab one on your way out. Our gift to you. The other next step might be stop risking for personal gain. Some of us know exactly what we're doing, the reasons we're doing it, and it's not a healthy reason. It's not a kingdom-oriented gain. Simply stop doing it. Ask God for help. Ask others for help. Write it out. Say, I'm no longer going to do this. And the last one is start risking for God. Start risking for God. And if you're going to start risking for God, He's going to present opportunities for you to live in the yellow. And those moments that you don't isn't about beating yourself up. That's what the enemy will do. He'll shame you. Tell you what you're not. You could never because you didn't. God will continue to keep up those opportunities. Walk through those. What are they? And even when you feel it and you don't do it, it's really good to capture that in a journal. Like, boy, I really felt like God wanted me to just say, hey, I hope you have a great day. Looks like you're struggling today to that person. But I didn't. Write that down. God, I repent of that, man. I'm so sorry. Thank you for putting that opportunity in front of me. Give me the strength to walk through it the next time. Just watch what God does over time. When you put yourself in an environment, in a presentation to God to go, I am ready. I am willing to risk. I think we'd all have different stories to share. All of a sudden, that selfish thing that we're risking, those things start to die away because the excitement, the energy, the things that God does in us when He does a work through us, when He uses us for His kingdom is unlike anything you'll ever experience. We're going to have prayer teams up here. We have communion. This is come up individually, come up as a couple, as small groups. You don't have to come up at all. The cracker represents Jesus' body. The juice that you dip the cracker in represents Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. When we do this, this isn't just a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross for us, but it's a reminder that when we take communion, in that culture, when Jesus held up the cup and said, you're going to drink from this cup, they would have experienced that hundreds of times. The weird thing is when He said, this bread represents my body. But they would have understood. Like when they would have passed that cup around in that culture, whoever was giving the toast, typically the leader or the king, he would have said, hey, this is our new direction. And everybody that would drink from that cup would be saying, I agree. That's what that meant. So when we take communion, we say, God, I'm all in the direction of the life that you've given me and what you want to do in my life and through my life. So it's not just a ritual we do. It's powerful when we step back and go, okay, God, I'm saying yes again. I need you, just like I needed you last Sunday, I need you this Sunday to help me for the rest of the week. That I came in here one person, I'm leaving another because you're great. Craig and the band's going to lead us into some worship. Before we do, let me pray. God, thank you so much. God, that you risked everything. You risked your life. You sent Jesus to die on a cross for us because that was the way to not only get our attention, but God, then the Holy Spirit was just released for all of us to experience when we say yes to you. And when that Spirit is activated in us, when we say yes, the Helper is there to do just that, to help us, to give us the words when we don't have them, to give them the strength when we feel weak, to give us insight that we have no reason to have, to help us to see somebody and just recognize what you want to say to them and what you want to do. And so, God, help us through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, would you help us to risk for you, for your kingdom? God, we want to honor you. We want to glorify you. God, we no longer want to risk for our own personal gain, for the things of this world. God, that you say that moths will just destroy. God, we want to store up treasures in heaven. God, and we do that by investing in you. Because when we do that, when we pursue you well, God, you do a work in us that we have no choice but to allow to work through us. So we give you freedom this morning to speak to us, to use us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're free to get prayer and communion.